It looks like you're finding your new chair closer to the middle. I welcome you to remain standing as we begin our worship together by singing our opening hymn.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for a day that you have given us to come and to worship, for the opportunity to share in this time together, and to sense the presence of your Spirit drawing us near, leading us out, that we might follow in the footsteps of your Son. So be at work in our hearts and in our lives. Let me invite you to join in a responsive time of confession and affirmation this morning. You see the words printed on the screen. Holy God, maker of all, Jesus Christ, servant of the poor, Holy Spirit, breath of life, let us in silence confess our faults and admit our faults. God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world. Christ, renew me, and the Spirit enable me to grow in love. Amen. Before God, with the people of God, we confess to our brokenness, to the ways we our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world. May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. With the whole church, we affirm that we are made in God's image, befriended by Christ, empowered by the Spirit. With people everywhere, we affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity, planted more deeply than all that is wrong. With all creation, we celebrate the miracle and wonder of life, the unfolding purposes of God, forever at work in ourselves and the world. Amen. presence of a team from Trinity that is in Guatemala. They met here yesterday morning to leave, and I had the opportunity to pray with them before they left, and I got an early morning email letting us know that they have arrived safely. That team of youth and adults will be in relationship and at work in communities in Guatemala this week. And so I give thanks for gifts that help make that possible and for their gifts of service and time as they go to be with others in that place. Will you pray with me this morning over our gifts? Oh God, what a blessing it is that we can share some of what we have for purposes that bring hope and transformation in the lives of others. Take what we offer on this day, and may it be used wisely by your church so that it may be a part of bringing your kingdom on earth this day. In Christ's name, we pray. Invite the ushers to come forward at this time and receive the morning offering.
As many of you know, I grew up here in Greenville and at Trinity. One of the things that always surprises me is how many stories and sermons I remember from growing up. Even though I was just a child and a teenager, and then moved away. Reverend Odin Martin was the pastor at that time, and during that time, Trinity really began to blossom. And as Trinity blossomed, so did these responsibilities. The responsibilities for preaching and teaching, for pastoral care, for administration. And I think it got to a point where Dean felt like his life was no longer his own. He was always on demand, whether he was at church or at home, kept his sanity, and one of the only private times he had was when he was jogging. And so he would jog religiously every day. That was his time for prayer. That was his time for solitude. That was his time to be able to replenish himself. I remember him talking, telling a story about one particular day when he especially needed some alone time. Everything was overwhelming, and he just wanted to be able to escape, to get away, to go off and to be by himself. And so when he went jogging that day, he didn't even go on his normal jogging trail. I think it was through Westside Park and that area. He went over to Lake Travis, so he wouldn't even run into anybody that he knew. So there he was, jogging around Lake Travis, and he was basking in the sun and in his time alone with God when he made one fatal mistake. He looked down and noticed that his shoe was untied and sat down on a log to tie it. And it was just at that moment that someone came by and said, "Oh, Dean Martin, you are such a godsend. Just who I needed to see today. I really need to talk with you." And then Dean sat there for the next 30 minutes and listened to and counseled this person. Well, how many of us feel that way sometimes? We feel like our life is this hamster wheel and we just can't seem to get off of it. We feel like life is coming at us, that we are just trying to make it through and survive, and we are not living life, much less embracing it and enjoying it. And that's where we pick up the Gospel of Mark today. It's this kind of day in the life story, a day in the life of Jesus story. It's actually at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and we can already see how much Jesus was in demand, how many pulls there were for his time and his attention. So I invite you to take a look with me at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus, James, and John went home with Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed, sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sunset, people brought to Jesus all those who were sick or demon-possessed. The whole town gathered near the door. He healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. He didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone and pray. Simon and those with him tracked him down, and when they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." He replied, door. In verse 37, Simon says that it says that Simon came to him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." And then finally, at the very end of the chapter, it says Jesus wasn't able to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, but people came to him from everywhere. I can't imagine how difficult this was for him to handle, that kind of constant popularity and demand. How did Jesus respond to his fame, to the sheer volume of need that came at him every single day? How was he to maintain his physical and his spiritual stamina? How was he able to handle the stress of such a lifestyle? Mark gives us a few clues, one of which is the rhythm that Jesus kept. We're in the middle of this series called Celtic Rhythms, Keeping Time with God. And one of the things that's clear about Jesus is that he kept a rhythm, and he found a way to keep time with God. If we simply look at this one day in his life, we can see that kind of rhythm recorded by Mark. We can see that Jesus seems to alternate back and forth between public and private time. Mark says that immediately on the Sabbath, that morning, which is before our scripture reading this day, Jesus went to the synagogue and he began teaching. And he cast out demons. That was a very public time. And then he goes back to Simon's house with four of his closest friends, a more private time. But it is there that he heals Simon's mother-in-law from a fever, and she gets up, and then word must have spread because suddenly that evening, the whole town is gathered at his door and wanting a piece of the more public time. But then, it says the next morning, however, the disciples literally tracked him down. The word could almost be translated, they stalked him and found him, and they said, "Everyone's looking for you." So Jesus gets up and instructs them that no, they're going to go on to another place in a new direction. And then he travels throughout Galilee, his public ministry. We clearly see Jesus living in willingness to serve, and we see a definite need for physical and spiritual recovery. Jesus modeled for us a rhythm of life and rest, work and prayer. But how often do we follow that path? We lose the rhythm between work and rest. We literally go from one thing to the next, from one demand to the next. We fall into bed exhausted every evening and drag ourselves out of bed when the alarm goes off in the morning. It's no wonder that we feel so stressed, exhausted, and so spiritually depleted. Think about it. A friend says to you, "Hey, how are you?" And what's your response? It's often, "Oh, so busy." We almost seem to wear our busyness like a badge, you know? We live in a world where busyness and overscheduling seem to be a virtue. Sometimes, at a deep level, perhaps we feel more valued if we are busy. If our schedule is packed with demands, if people are constantly clamoring for our attention. On the other hand, it is at rest that we come face to face with the core of who we are, who God created us to be. Maybe it goes back to what you talked about last week. If at our core we believe that we are fundamentally good, that we are fundamentally created good, then we can seek out silence and solitude to rest in that goodness. Whereas if we believe that we are fundamentally bad or flawed, then we will be reluctant to be quiet. We won't want to face our quiet or our stillness or silence. what we will find in rest. We will refuse to look up from our work, refuse to stop moving. We will fill all the blanks on our calendar with tasks, accomplishments, errands, things to do, anything to fill our time, the empty space. Because emptiness has nothing to do with our value or our worth. Our life has emptiness at its core. It is in the quiet, hollow wind through which the wind of God blows and makes the music. It is our life. Without that emptiness, we are clogged and unable to give birth to love, music, or kindness. All creation springs from emptiness. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Only in the silence and solitude can we find the image of God restored in us.
of that while you were nursing at the same time. And for Shelby, it was better for there to be no distractions at the lights down there. And as I sat there and looked at her for sweet face, somehow everything kind of came into focus again. And I would think that as she looked up at my face, she could feel that love and that contentment. She could know that she was safe there.
invites us to his table as those who come ready to receive what God has to offer for us, an abundance of grace and mercy experienced through the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live the fully obedient life, to show us the way, to offer his life up in death, and to be raised